Ken Miles.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to share the last message in our series, God with Us. Our key verse has been Matthew 1 and verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. And we have been looking at the different ways God is with us. We've seen that God is with us in the valley, that God is with us in the storm, God is with us in the family, and especially at Christmas, God was with us in a baby. Today we want to talk about God is with us in us. God is with us in us. Now, Jesus referred to this in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 20. Let me just read it to you, what Jesus said about himself and why he came to be God with us. And what was the final end of God being with us? Jesus said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. At that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." The final culmination of God being with us was that God wanted to be in us. And so we see, as we break down this portion of Scripture, first, Jesus came and he was one with God. And he was the expression of God. So when Jesus was born in the manger, God was with us in that physical body. The Father was shown to the world through Jesus. And then Jesus showed us what God was like, and he accomplished his mission, which was to save us from our sins. And as a result of that, as we receive this salvation, we are now in Christ. God was in Jesus, the Father was in Jesus, and showed forth who God was. And now we are in Christ. And what does that mean? It means that we no longer have to fear coming to God, because our sins are covered in Christ. And we are in him, and we are as righteous as Christ is righteous. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to merit it. You don't have to be fearful. Because God came in Christ, now through salvation, we are in Christ. And so now we enter into God's presence, not because of who we are, but because of who Christ is. And Colossians 3:3 puts it this way, that our life is hid with Christ in God. What a marvelous truth of our being in Christ. But that brings us to this final point. He says, "I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." The final expression of God being with us was not just to be alongside of us, but God was actually going to be in us, indwell us. And through that indwelling, he was going to change us. We receive this infilling of Christ in us through the Holy Spirit. And that's why Jesus said here, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I'm with you, but I shall be in you." And this is the marvelous truth of being a Christian, is that God is in us. Now, through this whole process, people didn't recognize who God was. When Jesus first came, born in that manger, people didn't recognize that he was God. And we can find through the whole portions of Scripture that refer to this, that they missed him. They didn't recognize him. Even Jesus' brothers, it said, didn't believe in him. When Jesus came to his village and began to preach, they didn't believe in him. It said they were offended at him. They said, "Isn't this just the carpenter's son? Isn't his brothers and sisters here with us?" And they didn't recognize him. So much so, it says at one point that Jesus wept over Jerusalem as he came to that city. He started to cry because he said, "You're missing the day of your visitation." God was with them, and yet they didn't see him or recognize him as God. But that process worked out, and Jesus gave his life on the cross for us. And so as a result of God being with us in Christ Jesus, there was a change brought to the world. A change in the way we come to God, not in our good works, but the change was we trust Christ for our salvation. And then as we receive the infilling of God's Holy Spirit, he changes us now from the inside out, and we begin to be different people. Not because of our effort and trying and our will, but because God is in us, transforming us and changing us. Here's how the scripture puts it in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," see, we're in Christ, "he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." God has made us new people because his Holy Spirit is within us. Now, as God has changed us, God wants us to have an effect in our world and to change the world around us. So, God wants to bring change to the world. Now, here's how it words it in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We revel in our salvation, that we are in Christ. And we thank the Lord that his Holy Spirit is in us and he's changing us. But we have been given a commission to go into the world and let the light that is within us shine forth to the world. The scripture says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." God's life is in us. His Spirit is within us. And he wants us to be lights to the world. Now, as I was preparing this message, I came across this video that when I watched it, it really moved me. It moved me deep inside, more than just emotion, but a moving in the depths of my spirit. And I want to show the video to you this morning, and I want you to look at it, and let's just see what God is saying to us through this video. Because I believe this video is a modern-day parable to us. Just as Jesus taught in parables, this video will teach us something about how we are to live and to change the world. The video is simply entitled, "Change for a Dollar." It was produced by Sharon Wright. We contacted her, and she was gracious enough to say, "Yes, go ahead and use the video." And so watch now the video, "Change for a Dollar." Every time I watch that video, it moves me and I see more and more truths in the video. The first question that came to my mind as I watched the video was, who is this man? Who is this homeless man in the video? Is he just a nice, kind-hearted man that we should all sort of be like? And as I watched the video, I realized, but no, he's more than just a kind-hearted man, because some of the things that happened in the video, he had no way of knowing. The fact that he put the penny down on the street, how did he know that the mom and the boy would follow him down the street? How did he know the boy would stop and see the penny? How would he know that the mother would then go in to the cafe and get a job? You have to sense there was something bigger behind this, that he was acting in a way that we realize was beneficial, but it was beyond his own knowledge. There was something happening behind the scene. And so then you begin to think, well, what, was he an angel? And then as I thought about it in light of the message that I've been sharing this morning, what if this homeless man actually represents God in us? That just a man, but God is in the man, motivating the man, speaking to the man, changing the man, using what he had for the benefit of someone else. That speaks of God to me. And as I watch that video unfold, it should stir in all of our hearts that this is how God would want us to live. If God is in us, would he not want to do the same thing through us? Now, when we talk about this, the next point I would say to you is God doesn't look the way we think. He doesn't look the way we think. When you first watch that video, your first thought wouldn't be, well, that's God there. I mean, his hair is all disheveled. I mean, his face is dirty a little bit. He's got old clothes on, just the way he sort of shuffles and walks. You say, well, that's not God. God would be much more dignified than that. God would be... But is it possible that God doesn't come the way we think he's going to come? Didn't we see this earlier with Jesus being born as a baby in the manger? That he didn't come the way that people thought he was going to come, but he really was God manifested in the flesh? And is it possible that God wants to use us? Don't look on the outward appearance. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7, do not look at his appearance, at his physical stature, for the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. God is living amongst us. And where is he living? He's living in ordinary people. He's living where? In the church, in you and me. And that's our next point. God is with us today through his body, his people, the church. The church is called his body. And just as Jesus had a physical body that people didn't recognize when he was here on earth, God has a physical body today that the world is not recognizing. And perhaps we don't recognize, because God is in his church. He's in you and me. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 12, in verse 13 and verse 27. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. We are the body of Christ. And so we need to be challenged, and I'm trying to challenge myself and you this morning to say that you embody Christ. And he wants to do something through you, just as he did something through his natural body when he walked on earth. Here's the next point. Through us, God interacts with ordinary people in simple, ordinary ways. We think if God was going to interact, it would be so miraculous. It would be spectacular. And yet God just interacts with people in simple, ordinary ways. Just as this man in the video interacted with people in just simple, ordinary ways. As he changed lives, so God wants us to change lives. I put this statement before you. God doesn't want us to live an extraordinary life. He wants us to live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. See, we all want to live an extraordinary life. We think if God's going to use us to be extraordinary. But is it possible that the way God is going to bring change on the earth is not an extraordinary way, it's in an ordinary way, but we live differently. We act differently. We act in an extraordinary way, but in very simple circumstances. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 25 and 27. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And so God wants to use you and me as his representatives in the world. He is in us. Now, as we watch the video, we saw that giving to others activates our witness. As we give to other people, as we serve other people, that is what actually activates our witness. If God is in us and he wants us to be lights and he wants our lights to so shine in the world, well then how would we get that started? I would suggest to you, it's by simple acts of giving. As you give to other people, your witness will be activated. You will become a change agent when you give the thing that you have received. See, this man had his bucket out, and on it it said change. And a dollar was put in his bucket, in his little tin can. A dollar. What change could be brought about by a dollar? Simple little acts of kindness and giving God used, if we see in this video, to change lives. It says in Matthew 10:8, freely you have received, freely give. You have in your hand things that will change lives, but it won't be activated unless you actually use them. Here's the statement I want to leave with you. Giving is the catalyst for change. Giving is the catalyst for change. And so if you want to affect the world, if we want our lights to shine in this world, then we have to begin to do acts of giving to other people. In fact, Acts 20 and verse 35 says, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If you're going to receive the blessing of God in your life, then be a change agent, be a conduit. The things you've received, give to other people. Now let's just reflect for a moment on this modern day parable that we watched in this video. And I just jotted down the different acts of giving throughout this video. And let me just rehearse them with you. And I hope that as we talk about it, that there will be a moving in you by the Holy Spirit to say, you know what? I could do that. That's something I could do. That was so small. That was so little. And yet, it brought about change. So let's just see how giving brought change in this video. Well, it starts with the man with his cup out, just wanting to receive. And another man comes by and just drops some money in the cup. Turns out to be a dollar. What change could a dollar produce? I want you to realize it can bring a lot of change. The verse that comes to my mind is Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. You need to sense and feel, how do I interact with other people? And does my interaction, is there something beyond this? Is God in this? Is God trying to do something in this? I believe many times you're meeting people every day that God has designed for you to meet with, to interact with, but because we're not aware of it, we miss the opportunities. So here, let's just go through the list. Here's the first one. He takes the dollar, he goes into the store, and he buys coffee that he goes out and he gives to a homeless lady sitting on the side. The coffee cost 35 cents. That's what it cost him, 35 cents. What change did it bring in the lady? Well, I would think it lifted her spirits. It made her feel good that she had received a gift. She enjoyed the taste of the coffee. She enjoyed the coffee. But I think the change that it brought most in her was the sense that she felt recognized and valued, that someone would give her a cup of coffee. He moves on and he puts a penny down on the sidewalk, and a little boy follows him, sees the penny, kneels down, picks it up, puts the penny in his loafer. They're penny loafers. Puts the penny in his loafer. Now, what change did it bring in the boy? Again, it lifted his spirits. He was happy he found a penny. And now he believes that he has good luck and things are going to change for the better. And that something good was going to happen. And sure enough, his mother, as she is there and watches him put the penny in his loafer, she looks up and sees that there's a sign that says we need help. And she goes in and she gets the job and she's excited. What did it cost? A penny. But the penny brought a change in the lives. The next, he walks down the street. He sees this sign, dimes for this patient. And it's a little baby that has cancer. And so he gives a dime, just a dime. What change did that bring? Well, I got to believe it helped the patient perhaps recover. It contributed to a cure. The parents were encouraged as they received it. And others saw what happened and were encouraged and to do similar. Our giving brings a change in people. And just a dime can make a change. And then in appreciation for his donation, the lady gives him back a carnation, and he takes the carnation. And many times, the things that we receive, you'd think, well, what can I do with a carnation? But he sticks it in his pocket. And as we watch the video, he walks down the street, and he sees the couple arguing, and the man storms out, and there's a rift in their relationship. And he simply gives the carnation to the husband. And the husband goes in and is reconciled with his wife. Here he gets a carnation that cost him nothing other than a dime to donate. And he uses the carnation to help someone else. And what change did it bring? It brought a couple back together. And then he walks on and he sees some homeless men in a park that are cold, and they're around a barrel, but there's no fire. And he takes the matches that he bought in the store for 15 cents. And he gives the 15 cent box of matches to the homeless men who are able to light a fire. What change does it mean? What change did it bring? That now they had something they needed to start a fire. And they felt comforted and warmed by a 15 cent box of matches. He moves on and he sees the young lady. that is sitting there at the side. He takes the rest of his coins and he gives it to the young girl, who then goes to the phone and uses those coins to make a call. And there's only 6 words of dialogue in this entire video. And the young girl on the phone says, "Mom, I want to come home." Just a few coins. But how did he know she needed the coins for the call? This is where, again, God is orchestrating the whole thing. It's just not our efforts. But if we see what God is doing, and God is in us, he's prompting us to do things and to give simple, insignificant things to other people. But when it's done in the name of the Lord and it's done in love and compassion, it brings change. Change for a dollar. We see all these changes that came about by this man just giving away a dollar. The video ends with the boy and his mother coming by. And this is the next day, and it's starting all over again. He's got his cup out, change, and the little boy takes the penny out of his loafer and puts it back in the can. And this is another change. When you witness how you've been blessed, you in turn bless other people. And this little boy finds the joy of giving. Simple, small acts. Listen to what Mark 9:41 says. "For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward." Christ is in us. You don't have to have $1 million. You don't have to have a lot of talent and ability. You don't have to look special. Here is a modern day parable of a homeless man with a dollar changing lives because he has a Christ-like spirit to give to others. What if the whole church was like this? What if all of us were like this? Wherever we are, sprinkled like salt all over this world. What if we could get this same heart and same spirit that God is in us? And he wants to change the world through us. And it doesn't take a lot. It just takes a vessel who's willing to give what they have received. The last point I'd tell you is this. To show God in us, because God is in us, to show that forth to the world, we need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Again, God has a design for our life. We don't know the ends. We don't know how that simple act would affect someone else. But God does. And he'll put you in the right place and give you a motivation and just a thought, an impulse that you should do something. You need to follow that leading of the Holy Spirit. Here's what John 16:13 says. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." The Spirit within you will guide you. You just have to follow his promptings and his leadings. Listen to what John 14:12 says. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also." Now listen, "and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." And we think, how could that be? How could I do a greater work than Jesus? Look at the spectacular things he did. But I hope that this morning you'll see God is in you, and just through little simple acts of what to us is insignificance, but when we do it following the leading of the Holy Spirit, it changes lives. It makes a difference. And that this is what we are called to. You know, as I watched that video, one of the most intriguing and captivating parts of it was the protracted gazes between the boy and the homeless man. Just how they looked at each other. The little boy was watching the homeless man before he had received anything from him. He just watched him. And the homeless man was looking back at the boy. And just powerful images of their interaction, of staring and looking at one another. And this speaks to me. I want you to know the world is looking for something. They're looking out. They're watching you. They're watching the church. They're gazing at you. They have a need. They don't even know they have a need. They feel down, just like the little boy didn't know what was going to happen, but he looks sad, but he's gazing at this man. And the man gazes back at him. And we need to look at the world in the same way. As the world is looking at us, you need to go through life looking around and seeing who God directs your attention to. Who catches your gaze? And when that person catches your gaze, you need to ask yourself, what do I have? What could I do? What simple act could I perform right now that would help this person, bless this person? Without any thought of how this would come back to you. I think about the man, and when you watch him buy the coffee, you think, oh, he's going to buy a coffee for himself, but he gives the coffee to the other lady. What is the coffee God wants you to give to the people that you're coming in contact with? What is the God in you wanting you to do as you walk through this life? It's a powerful, powerful illustration. The other aspect of this video that spoke to me was that the man never forced any change. He didn't ask anything in response. He just did his part. But as he did his part, God used it to change the lives of people. We can't force people to change in any way. We can't persuade them. We can't argue them into an understanding. What we need to do is just let our light shine. We just need to look at people and simply give to their need as we perceive it. What I have, I give to you. And I tell you, if you will look at people, follow the leading of God's Spirit, it will bring change in a person's life. And so here's how I'd summarize it. God is with us, so God can be in us. God is with us so he can be in us. And he's in us so that we would change the world one interaction at a time. I hope that the Spirit is gripping your heart like I feel my heart gripped right now. These truths move me. They are such simple but profound truths that we can go through life and bemoaning the fact, I'm sitting on the side of the road. I don't have any money. All I got is a dollar. And we don't realize that God wants to use us and he is in you. And it doesn't matter your circumstances. If you lift up your eyes and look to someone else and meet their needs, freely you have given, then you're going to receive. The scripture talks about that in the same measure we give, it'll come back to us. That's Luke 6:38. Given, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. I want to pray for us right now. I want you to meditate on these things I've shared. And let's ask God to help us so that the world can be changed. Father, right now, we just bow in prayer. And I ask, Lord, the Spirit that I'm feeling in my heart would go forth into the homes, into every place that people are watching this morning. And they would sense your presence and your Spirit. And that every person would ask you to fill them with your Spirit. That you would be in all of us, in us. And Lord, Would you transform us into being givers? May we see that there is a purpose that you are in us. Open our eyes, Lord, to gaze at the world in a different way. That when we see people, we would not just glimpse them and quickly pass over them, but Lord, that we would actually see them and sense inwardly what you're saying to us so we can meet their needs. Lord, this is our prayer today. Help us, Lord, to produce change. Change that comes because you're in us and moving through us. I ask that.